Have you ever been accused of being somewhat like a bear, where your family feels like they have to open the door just a little bit and throw in the chocolate and tell you they love you and run away? Well, raging anger, depths of despair, crippling cramps, migraines, pure exhaustion, none of that should be a part of our normal monthly experience as a female. But for many people, it is. So, did you know your monthly cycle can actually be your friend? If you know how to work with it instead of against it? If you deal with anxiety, pain, headaches, wild emotions, or any of the other things that we tend to think of as common, today I am back to bring you hope. You do not have to keep suffering. Today we have Lisha Drews back again so that we can continue our conversation. She is a wonderful wealth of knowledge, and she is going to discuss how holistic health and our understanding of how our body systems work together can actually help us say bye-bye to the PMS blues and make our cycle work to help bring us success. Hey mamas, welcome to Her Home and Heart podcast. Do you want balance in your home life and peace in your heart at the end of each long day? Do you want to let go of feelings of failure because you've yelled at the kids again despite promising yourself and God you'd stop? I'm Katie. I'm a homeschooling mom who also had little kids and wanted to create a thriving home environment. In this podcast, you'll find resources for holistic living, heart connection with your family, and homeschooling so that you won't wake up to regret one day. Even if you have outside-the-box learners or your own health challenges, you'll find support here. Breathe deeply, grab a coffee, and let the kids go play, because it's time for you to find peace and fulfillment that you've been longing for. Let's go!
Women come to me all the time who are having low energy, bad periods, PMS. And when I say bad periods, it can be irregular. It can be really heavy. It can be really painful. It can be lots of breakouts or like just a whole spectrum of different symptoms. And there's so much that we can dive into. And so when I work with women one-on-one, we really do go deeper and we find out like not only like what's actually going on with their nutrition, what's going on in their lifestyle, where are their stressors? And then I do functional testing as well for hormones and for gut and for minerals and for thyroid, like just depending on what the person actually needs. So we don't do all of those for everyone. All of those things are really important. And I'm always going to ask why. I'm not just going to say like, oh, that's just fine. You can feel bad. Like I'm always going to be like, but why are you feeling bad? Let's figure it out.
Yeah. Dig deep and get to the root.
Yes, absolutely.
So there's another topic I'm super excited to talk to you about, which is cycle syncing.
Yes.
So
it's a fun one.
This is a huge one. So cycle syncing is something that whether you have had a baby or you have not had a baby is something that can really impact just your daily life. So would you mind explaining to those who haven't heard of it before? Because I know I hadn't for a really long time, what it is.
Yes, absolutely. So cycle syncing is, interestingly enough, it is actually now a copyrighted phrase. And there is a doctor named Elisa Vitti, and she wrote the book In the Flow. And so she is kind of the one who, I don't know that she necessarily came up with cycle syncing. I could totally be quoting this wrong. So forgive me if you're listening, Elisa. But with that being said, she is the one who wrote a book that became really famous about cycle syncing. And so she has like actually coined that phrase now. And so cycle syncing is basically, though, understanding that each week of your menstrual cycle is actually something different and that your hormones are changing. And so I'm going to do a quick little science lesson into what's happening in your hormones every single month. This is something that I learned in nursing school and then I forgot about for like 7 years. And then I was like, oh, hey, this matters. And so this is now my little pet project to teach women what is happening in their normal cycle. So day one of your cycle is going to be when you start bleeding. And so that doesn't matter if you bleed every 30 days, every 35 days, every 40 days, there are reasons that you want your cycle to be regular and closer to 28 to 30 days. But cycle day one is always when you start bleeding, no matter how long your cycle is. And so cycle day one, your hormones are at their lowest point, your estrogen and your progesterone. So you have a drop off of those hormones right before you start bleeding. And that's what actually triggers the bleed. And then as you go through that first week, your hormones stay low. And so usually kind of toward the end of that first week is when we start to see a rise in estrogen. And in that first half of your cycle, it is actually exactly right that estrogen is dominant. So I know estrogen dominance gets a bad rap and it is a bad thing. There's lots of things that we don't like about it. And we're only talking about the second half of the cycle where that's a problem. So first half of your cycle, you are estrogen dominant and you want to be. And so estrogen rises and it triggers two other hormones. One of them is the follicle stimulating hormone, which means that it stimulates in each ovary. It stimulates the follicles, which are the little sacs that hold the eggs, to start maturing and growing those eggs in preparation for ovulation. And so that gets triggered. And then when you get a little bit closer to ovulation, the luteinizing hormone is triggered and the one of the eggs will actually burst out of the follicle. And that is the egg that is ovulated. And when that egg is ovulated, the little follicle actually collapses and becomes a temporary organ to produce progesterone for the rest of your cycle. And if you get pregnant that cycle, it will actually produce progesterone until your placenta takes over. So that's incredible. Like, your body is making a new organ every month that makes one of your most important hormones. So that's, isn't that cool?
That is amazing. I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah. So cool.
So cool.
So estrogen rises until ovulation and then it drops off really pretty significantly. And when that little follicle starts producing progesterone, which is usually within a day of the time you ovulate, then progesterone has a nice big wave and it is dominant until the end of your cycle, as long as everything's going well, as long as you're not producing too much estrogen or not detoxifying estrogen. And then toward the end of the cycle, you have one more little spike in estrogen. It still stays less than progesterone, hopefully, and then both drop off. And that's what causes you to bleed again. So with that being said, you can hear that every single week of your cycle, it makes sense that you don't necessarily feel the same.
Makes huge sense.
Yeah.
And over, you know, the decades of my life is definitely something that I have noticed. And thankfully, as I paid attention, now can kind of plan a little bit better. So yes. How would you say that this knowledge, I mean, I know how it's helped me, but overall in a broad way, how would you say this knowledge can help your average female?
Yeah. So I'm going to go through just like, this will be a pretty brief overview of each week of your cycle. And I do have more resources if you're like, okay, tell me more. I've already mentioned that in the Flow book, that's a great place to start. But I'll give you a little brief overview so you can have a couple of takeaways for each week of your cycle just to get started. So week one is kind of days like 1 through 7, that first week of your cycle. And that is the menstrual phase or the period phase where you're bleeding. And most women are going to be bleeding for a majority of that time, maybe not the entire time, but that's again where your estrogen and your progesterone are low. And when both of those hormones are low, it actually creates the most connection between the right and the left side of your brain. So in that phase, you are most likely to be in a good place to do things like planning and analyzing, which I think is really cool because your social energy is usually lower during that week. So when you're in that kind of like hibernation phase a little bit and you're like, I don't really want to see all the people, you can plan. You can plan your month, you can plan your meals, you can plan your budget, you can plan your homeschool, you can plan your business, whatever that looks like. While you're cozy on the couch with your little blankie and you're not seeing people, that is a time that you're really powerful in that way. It's also a time where you might be more introspective. So if there are things that you're like needing to process or journal during your period phase is a really good time for that. What is not normal, in my opinion, during your period phase is lots of depression, having terrible cramps, being laid up on the couch because you just feel so terrible. All of those things are abnormal and are a sign that your hormones are imbalanced. But having a little bit more, just like I said, like a little more introspection, a little bit less social energy, that is totally normal. And it can serve you really well if you know that it's coming, basically. So the couple of things that I always like to hit on with cycle syncing are nutrition and exercise. What is going to be best in each phase of your cycle? So phase one during your period, usually exercise, I always recommend that you just check in with your body. But if you don't feel like hitting it hard, don't hit it hard. You can do stretching, you can do yoga, you can do Pilates, you can take a walk. You can do, if you love strength training, you can still do strength training, but just think about maybe not that first day of your period, especially if your bleeding is more heavy or if you are having some cramps. And sometimes it's like the first couple days that you kind of feel a little bit lower energy and then you're like good to go again. But just realizing like doing what you do, maybe just at like a slower intensity or a little bit less weight, sometimes can feel really good. And just giving yourself the grace for that instead of feeling like, what's wrong with me 2 weeks ago? I was on top of the world and now I can't lift this weight. It's not that you can't, it's just that that's not optimal for your body in that very moment.
Yeah.
With nutrition. Yeah. With nutrition, I actually really love to focus on warm foods in the first part of your cycle in the winter. That's going to be super easy. But postpartum, I noticed that postpartum cramping actually gets generally worse with each kid. Can you attest to that? And so something that I learned before my third baby was that eating warm foods can make a really big difference in that postpartum cramping. And I found that it can make a difference in period cramping as well. And I found that it actually did make a really big difference in my cramping postpartum those first couple of days. So warm foods would be things that are also going to be really nourishing, like bone broths and soups, and maybe just foods that are really easy to digest because your body is doing some extra work, shedding your uterine lining. And so making digestion a little bit easier can also decrease symptoms like bloating or just kind of like that irritable feeling in your belly that you might have with your period too. So I always like to do just warm, comforting and nourishing foods during the period. And then also sometimes you may crave something more like organ meats or like grass-fed beef because you're kind of like replenishing some of those nutrient stores. So phase two of your cycle is after that first week, obviously. It's going to be the second week of your cycle coming up to ovulation. A really quick myth that I want to bust is not everyone ovulates on day 14. That is kind of the textbook time to ovulate, but I didn't ovulate on day 14 all the time, and I don't all the time. And if you think that you are always ovulating on day 14, that may change you getting pregnant or not getting pregnant. You actually need to know what signs to watch for your body. So as estrogen rises in that second week, that is when cervical fluid is most obvious, basically. And so you'll notice more cervical fluid in that week as estrogen is rising. And when that cervical fluid goes away, it generally means that you have ovulated. Now, there are other things to do to track your cycle as well. So don't just track it with that. But knowing that your estrogen is rising and that you're getting close to ovulation, that second week of your cycle is actually where your social energy generally rises. And you can be the most like creative and magnetic and outgoing. This is a really great time in your cycle for date night. It's a great time in your cycle for like just like all of the things that require energy, like birthday parties or going out to see friends or like field trips, like any of those things. That's going to be a really great week in your cycle for that. And you can kind of capitalize on that in whatever way you need to. But I think that it's really, really interesting that God has designed our bodies in a way that we're actually notably more physically attractive, and even our voices. There was a really interesting study that I read that said in a like literally blind study, people would attract or would rate the attractiveness of a woman's voice higher when she was ovulating or like coming up to ovulation. And so it's like so interesting that that time where we're fertile and where we are able to get pregnant, we are actually like physically more attractive and also more outgoing and like interested in our partners. So that's really cool. Second part of it with cycle syncing in this week is just knowing that as you're about to ovulate, your body does need some specific nutrients. Vitamin C is one of those. And so I always like to add in more fresh foods in this part of my cycle. So like fresh fruits and veggies, especially things that are high in vitamin C. So like berries and peppers and oranges and things like that. Those are really good working up to ovulation. And with exercise, this is generally the phase of your cycle where you actually are going to feel more energy to exercise. Maybe you can lift a little bit heavier. Maybe you're enjoying what you're doing more. And this is a really great time of your cycle to try something new. So if you need to start an exercise program, this is a great time of your cycle to start or to switch to something new because you might have that energy to actually do it.
Fascinating.
Yeah, it's so interesting, isn't it? It's so cool.
Motherhood is such a gift. And it can be so exhausting. And so for those of us who struggle with energy or who really want to regain some of that radiant beauty that we had when we were first married, maybe see some of the wrinkles coming on, I wanted to just tell you my best kept secret. What keeps my family's energy high? What helps keep our ADHD, anxiety, joints, all of that in good working order? The way that we do that is we support ourselves through cellular activation so that our bodies can work the way that they were intended to. So this is my most amazing hack that my family, over years of research and trying things and failing, this has been our swiftest, most wonderful solution. I've put a link in the description just for you so that you can go check it out. And I've created a link there where you can see the Energy Rescue Bundle that I've got linked, the Radiant Beauty Bundle, and some more information. So I hope it helps you out. I love to share resources with everybody because I have been so gifted and blessed to have them shared with me. All right.
And then when we switch into phase three, that's actually the ovulation phase. And so ovulation phase is shorter. It's only a few days. And really, you're only ovulating for 24 hours, but cycle syncing kind of teaches that it's like a couple days. And that's really the time right around when you ovulate, like kind of like when you ovulate and just after for the couple of days. And this phase, I really think, is pretty similar to the follicular phase as far as your energy goes. You do have a rise in progesterone at this point. So you kind of switch to a little bit more of a calm energy versus that like higher energy at follicular right before you ovulate. But you generally will still be in a really good place to kind of like check things off the list and kind of be at your highest point of the month. And so during that phase, it's still really helpful to be kind of just focusing on like really nourishing ingredients with your food and also to just be exercising kind of at your capacity. Definitely don't push yourself past it, but this may be the highest time of the month for that as well. And so ovulation phase, this is the time if you are, you know, if you're running a business, like this is a time that you want to launch things. If you are running a podcast, this is a great time to be doing interviews. If you are a mom who like wants to hang out with a friend, this is still a really good time for communication and even like family meetings. This is a really great time to be able to communicate well and kind of have that stable but high energy. So ovulation phase is a really great one as well. And then our phase four is the longest one, and that is luteal. And I honestly would say, I feel like that ovulation week is really, really similar. So kind of like that whole third week of your cycle, you sometimes will still have that ovulation energy depending on the person, but it's technically luteal after a couple days after ovulation. And so I kind of look at it as like early luteal and later luteal. And so early luteal, I will say, is generally, like I said, still kind of like that. You have some pretty good energy. You're feeling like hopefully pretty calm, pretty communicative. Things are feeling good. And usually that last week of the cycle is where hormones get a bad rap, if they do, depending on your symptoms. And so this is a time of your cycle where you do start to slow down a little bit, usually on social energy and even physical energy. What is normal is just noticing like a slow, gentle decline in that, where you're kind of shifting back into the more introspective and feeling like maybe you want a little bit more time at home, a little bit more time with your family, maybe a little bit more time to yourself, and maybe even noticing that your physical energy is a little bit lower. What is not normal, it is common, but it's not normal, is having raging PMS, being really irritable with everyone, being exhausted, starting to have cramps, breakouts. Like all of those things are really not normal. And it's a sign that your body generally usually is not detoxing estrogen, or you don't have enough progesterone. And so with that being said, that last phase of your cycle, it is common to slow down a little bit, but if you have all of those symptoms, something is really going on. But that last phase of your cycle, I really think that it can go so far to just check in with yourself and ask yourself what you need. And so if you know for you that 4 days before your period, you generally get really irritable, then 5 days before your period, start to give yourself some more space. And so what that can look like is literally looking at the calendar and being like, hey, honey, on Wednesday, when you get home, I'm taking a bath for 2 hours. And like dinner's in the oven, or it's not in the oven, I don't know, but somebody's going to have to figure it out. And like, I'm giving myself that space. And even that really simple step can make a big difference in your mood once you start to proactively take care of yourself before your temper gets really short or before you really run out of energy. It can make a really big difference. And I also really love to focus on foods that can be detoxifying and anti-inflammatory in this phase, especially if you have symptoms. So things like turmeric and ginger. There's a really good recipe floating around on the internet for golden milk. That's one of my favorites in this phase. Raw carrot salad is something I talk about all the time. Look up the Raypeat raw carrot salad if you don't know what I'm talking about, but it's so good for estrogen detox. That's really important in the second half of the cycle. And then also just again, like going back to some of those warm and comforting foods, the foods that are easy to digest, just giving your body some extra love before your period. If you are having sweets cravings, it can be really normal because you actually do need a little bit more calories and a little bit more carbs, like 200 to 300 calories a day more in this last phase of your cycle. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you should just like eat all the brownies. It actually means that you should check in with your body and get some of the carbs and the protein together. And then if you want a little brownie, great, go for it. And If you binge on brownies, it can make your period symptoms worse if you're in an inflamed state already. So just realizing having maybe like a healthier option and still enjoying that is really fine. But if you notice that your cravings are out of control, that's just another sign that your body doesn't have what it needs. So exercise in the luteal phase, early luteal, can just be like normal and good. You can feel great. Continue to do what you're doing. But usually it's kind of like those last couple of days before your period, you might kind of be at that low point again where you don't necessarily need to do all the things. And maybe you walk, maybe you stretch. Hip stretching can be really helpful for period pain and just like letting out some of that emotion too. And just realizing emotionally you're coming toward a place of release in your body. And so if you have emotions welling up, this is a really good time to feel them and release them versus just shoving them back down and hoping that they'll go away.
Absolutely. There's nothing like a good cry or a long talk with somebody who cares.
It really can.
I think you have just literally given the most brilliant way for any woman and her husband to plan their monthly calendar.
Yes. I hope the husbands are listening to this and they're like, yes, this makes sense. Let's do it.
Yes. And I hope, if nothing else, that the ladies who are listening, when they figure out the gravity of how amazing this information is, will share it with their husbands. Because, you know, I think sometimes our poor guys, especially if they didn't grow up with sisters, they don't really know, and they don't mean to be, I don't know, callous about it or not understand. They just don't know. And so understanding the actual science behind why women feel and act the way they do during the month, I think it's so important. I think it can help relieve a lot of stress in the relationship and physically as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Once my clients' husbands kind of like get the hang of it and they're like, oh, actually, yes, this is great. Like 5 days before your period, you can totally have a break because then you're not grumpy at all of us. Like it's really cool. And just knowing what to expect. Like I always think that knowledge is power, and I love to empower women to understand their hormones better and realize that like just because something is off with your hormones doesn't mean that you need birth control. There's always something going on under the surface. And so much of that can change with food and with lifestyle and just with like reducing stress, and it really can be simple.
Yeah. And it's not something that is easy to access, like this knowledge, at least when I was growing up and when my sisters were growing up. This was not something that our average family practice doctor would talk about or would share. And so it's amazing to be able to find somebody who has this training and this expertise like you do, because so many women need it and can have a happier motherhood, a happier marriage, a happier life if they understand just how they're created and how beautifully they're created, and that it's okay. You're not bad because you have PMS. We can do something about this. And yes, you are allowed a little chocolate. Those are the best words ever, Leisha. Can't have all the brownies. Yes. But you can have some of the brownies.
Yeah. And you can have all the brownies. I just want you to know that it's not going to make you feel great.
That's right.
And that if you truly do want all the brownies, it means that your body doesn't have what it needs as far as nourishment. And so I think that's a really powerful thing to realize, that it's not just you're addicted to sugar or something's wrong with you or you have no self-control. Like your body is actually asking for energy, and there are ways that you can give it energy, and those cravings will honestly go away, or mostly away, which is awesome.
It's the best feeling to not have cravings. It's so freeing. Yeah, it's really good to have this knowledge. So that's amazing. Okay, so I know a lot of ladies are going to be going, where in the world can I find out more about Leisha and all this stuff? So how can they find you?
So like I mentioned, I have the Happily Hormonal podcast. Do come over there because I talk all the things about all the hormones and mom life. I have so many episodes on all kinds of different things that affect us as mamas. So that's the primary place to find me. I also do have a website, and that is abundant-lifewellness.com. I have a little bit more info about how to work with me there. In my course, Nourish Your Hormones is a really great place to start. And then I also am sometimes on Instagram, not all the time, but that's at Leisha Drews.
Okay. Fabulous. So I'll make sure all of that gets put into the description for anybody who's driving. Do not look at the description right now and do not write this down. I will have it there for you.
It's safe. You can wait.
That's right. So if you were to give just one or two, if you want to give two, but tip to a mom who's driving home and she's like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. I'm so excited to know this information. And she wants a quick win. what would you say the minute she rolls in the door today, tonight, whatever, that she could do to just get started on this path?
Yeah. So two things. Yes. Good call on the two things, because I don't think I could do just one. So just to support your blood sugar and your hormones in general, I would just highly recommend starting to eat breakfast within 30 minutes of waking up and making sure that it has good quality carbs and protein every single time. Figuring out what works for you within that spectrum and sticking to it, even if you don't have the hunger cues yet, they will come back and your energy will be better because of it. So that's number one. Number two, as far as the cycle syncing goes, is start tracking your cycle. There's a book called Taking Charge of Your Fertility if you really want to go deep, but start just tracking your cycle and taking your temperatures, and you can find out so much about your body by just finding out when you're ovulating, if you're ovulating, knowing when your symptoms show up in your cycle. And then that way, hopefully, you can kind of just figure out what's going on. But also, if you do decide, hey, something's off here and I need to go to a practitioner, you're going to be able to say, this is what's going on and this is when it's going on. And you're going to be able to get the help that you need so much easier.
Yeah, absolutely. There is nothing like just being aware to be able to help you make forward progress. And I know when I started doing all that type of tracking, it was eye-opening. It was amazing. It mattered and it helped. And so I hope everybody will do that. And in fact, many phones have an app for that already built in.
Yeah, absolutely. There's lots of good apps for it.
Yeah. Leisha, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're so welcome. Yeah. I've had so much fun.
Me too. I appreciate all this wisdom too. I mean, I have a feeling this is going to be the kind of episode people are going to hit rewind and take notes on. So
I hope so. I love it. And I'm so excited for anyone who's just learning about their cycle. It truly is amazing. And I call myself a hormone nerd all the time, so I will just go ahead and say that. But like, your hormones are amazing and they really do so much for you. And really, I think that, like, again, I've mentioned several times, like, hormones having a bad rap, but our hormones as women are literally what allows us to create life in this world. And so, like, when we take it from that perspective, like, how can we help but love what our bodies are doing?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for blessing us with all of this today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you're so welcome.
Today's episode is sponsored by Her Home and Heart Method Course, where homeschooling families are creating a holistic home ecosystem so that they can thrive. In 2023, this course will be released, and we will dig into the nest system, where we will cover the four most important areas of home life that will easily be tweaked and help you to create a peaceful, joyful, thriving home environment and a home ecosystem where you can, no matter how much grief or pain or trouble there is in your life and in lives around you and in the world around you, you can create a place that is an emotionally, mentally, and physically safe and healthy place of rest, a place that honors God, that honors your family, and that will carry down through generations of your family to come. So in 2023, we will be launching the Her Home and Heart Method course, and I cannot wait to see you there.
Thanks for listening and spending time with us today.
If you know anyone who could benefit from my mom's podcast, please share it and leave a review so others can find us too.
See you next time.